said you'd be late, so it's not good.
Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Committee on Rules to order and congratulate Senator Farioli for being first on time today.
Actually, we were.
Wait a minute.
Wait,
I was here with him.
I saw you walk in first. Okay. All right. Senator Beyer.
That'll teach you to hold the door.
We will start today by opening a public hearing on SR 2. Welcome, Senator Hansel, and we will start off with an introduction by Cherie.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Resolution 2 congratulates the University of Oregon men's basketball team on its performance in this year's NCAA men's basketball tournament games and advancement to the Final Four. There are no amendments, and fiscal and revenue paperwork both indicate no impact associated with this measure.
Okay, welcome, Senator Hansel, and I know you have to get to another committee, so.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. Members of the committee, for the record, Bill Hansel, State Senator for District 29, North Central and Eastern Oregon. Today I bring you SR 2, a resolution to honor the University of Oregon's outstanding basketball team in the year they had. I and Senator Lee Beyer are the chief co-sponsors of this resolution. As everyone knows, the University of Oregon advanced further this year in the NCAA championship competition than they have since 1939. That year they won the tournament, however, it had an 8-team limit. Advancing the Final Four in a tournament of 68 teams is quite an accomplishment. However, the team's success were more than just during the NCAA. They set a school record of 33 wins this season, which also had the highest attendance since 1978. U of O men's basketball team has a home game winning streak of 42 games. The streak began in 2014 and now includes two full undefeated seasons at home. This winning streak is the best in the nation. The U of O men's basketball team has made five straight NCAA tournament appearances for the first time in school history, including back-to-back Elite Eight appearances. They are only one of five schools that have won at least one game in each of the last five tournaments, and one of only four teams to have won at least 30 games in each of the last two seasons. They had some outstanding individuals that were recognized. Forward Dylan Brooks and Jordan Bell were recognized as the Pac-12 Players of the Year and NCAA Midwest Regional Most Outstanding Player, respectively. Coach Dana Altman has led Oregon to seven consecutive 20-win seasons, and during this past season won his 700th career game as a head coach. I urge you to support and pass resolution honoring the U of O men's basketball outstanding season. It is also my understanding that head coach Dana Altman and athletic director Rob Mullins will be present on Thursday in the Senate floor session should you pass out this resolution. They're very appreciative of what we are proposing to do, and they would like to be here when it would pass. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the panel?
It's a great bill.
A good bill should pass? Okay. Senator Roper. Yes.
I was trying to figure out what he has against Eastern Oregon University.
Nothing at all, sir. If they get the Final Four, I'll probably have another resolution.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you would be consistent with that. Thank you. So what happened when the career school down in Southern Oregon, the tech school down there, went to the finals? I don't remember your resolution, but that's okay. I won't bring that up.
Well, that was OIT, and I think actually Senator Whitsitt had a resolution, if I remember correctly.
Either that or you just made it up.
All right, but I also want to appreciate your willingness to consider, even though it was kind of late getting here.
It's perfect.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much. We'll let you get on with your day. We'll close the public hearing on SR2, take it up in a few minutes, but for the moment we have another hardworking senator in the office, in the room, so we will open a public hearing on SCR 29. Cherie.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Concurrent Resolution 29 celebrates and expresses appreciation for Dr. Edwin Coleman and his accomplishments in academics and music and his legacy of work for justice and equality. There are no amendments, and fiscal and revenue paperwork indicate no impact associated with this measure.
Welcome, Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members, for taking up SCR 29. Floyd Brzezinski, State Senator, District 4, includes parts of Lane and Douglas counties. And I'm here in support of the resolution that would, in fact, honor Dr. Edwin Ed Coleman. Dr. Coleman was a renowned professor at the University of Oregon, and I first met him through political circles back in the 90s, but I didn't really get to know him until I actually met his wife. His wife, Charmaine, and I served on the HIV Alliance Board starting in the late part of 1990s is when I came onto the board, early 2000, and served there for a number of years with her. And through that interchange, I got to know Ed on a much more human basis, getting to know what made him tick. And one of the things that made him tick was people. He always enjoyed working with and sharing with people his perspectives and listening to others talk, and always was willing to give his understanding of how he thought things should be for all of us. He was a strong leader in the civil rights movement and had the opportunity in his lifetime to meet some of the great American civil rights movement individuals. Through his process of meeting them, he actually used those opportunities on a local level. I am here in support because I think Ed Coleman is one of these individuals who really had a distinct impact on many, many individuals. Hearing some of the stories from some of his former students, as well as community members from the Eugene-Springfield area, it only seems fitting for us to acknowledge and recognize him in such a way. And one of the ways that he was able to, say, get your attention and charm you was his music. He was learned to play the bass after learning to play violin, which was his first instrument that he took when he was growing up. But then he has a family who is over the top when it comes to musically savvy and willing to share their gifts that they have acquired from him and their mom, Charmaine. So with that, unless you have questions, I hope that you will, in fact, support SCR 29 and give the opportunity for us to recognize Ed Coleman for all of the benefits that he has done as a professor at the University of Oregon, as well as for the community as whole, as being a civil rights advocate, an individual who just wanted to make certain that all of us had the rights that were common for all and that we'd be treated equally. And as his son, Callan, said, point out in the resolution, that his dad would want everyone to know that he was kicking till the very end, kicking, jamming, laughing, and loving. And that is Ed Coleman.
Thank you, Senator Brzezinski. And we've been joined by Senator Manning. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is James Ivory Manning, Jr. I'm the senator for District 7, which is Eugene and Junction City. I apologize for my tardiness. I thought I had another testimony I was given in another location. But when I came in, I was really pleased to see that Senator Brzezinski was here, and he's given you a full detail regarding Dr. Ed Coleman, his lifestyle. So I won't repeat that, but I will say that this is my interaction with Dr. Coleman was one that an exchange of ideal levels. He was always one that wanted to entertain any kind of thoughts, and he was controversial at some points, you know, and his views about how things ought to be. And it prompted a lot of good conversations in terms of how do we move as a community forward based off the events that he shared or experienced in his lifetime in the past. So I really strongly encourage and hope that you will also support this Senate resolution because it's really important to the community because of the things that Dr. Coleman have done. Not only that, is that the lives that he's touched, to include Senator Brzezinski, mine, and other members of the committee itself. So with that, I have any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Questions from the panel? Senator Beyer.
Just a comment, Madam Chair. Thank you. Ed Coleman was one of the nicest guys you ever wanted to meet, and he's had an incredible sense of humor, and Senator Przanski talked about his musical abilities, but he really was, in jazz circles around the southern Willamette Valley, he was known as one of the greats. He really was a phenomenal jazz musician and all-around nice guy.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Okay, that completes our testimony on SCR 29. So we'll close the hearing on public hearing on SCR 29 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2591. Sheree.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 2591 designates the month of May of each year as Williams Syndrome Awareness Month. There are no amendments, and revenue and fiscal paperwork both indicate no impact associated with this measure.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Cedric Hayden, State Representative for House District 7, and thank you, members of the committee, for hearing this bill today. We'll try and be brief, but we have a small video clip that does an excellent job, I think, of explaining what Williams Syndrome is. Williams Syndrome is a rare disease that affects about 30,000 people in the world. And a small number of those people live here in Oregon. It's a disease that's hard to detect visually by seeing a child that's affected with it, because most of those conditions are cardiac conditions that affect their heart and their systems. And so I'd like, with your permission, to play a few minutes of a video, and then we'll follow up on that with a little more testimony, if that would be okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, an estimated 20 to 30,000 people are affected by Williams Syndrome right here in the United States. That's according to the Williams Syndrome Association.
And lawmakers are actually considering a bill to make May Williams Syndrome Awareness Month. In this morning's special report, we'll show you the challenges a little girl from Eugene deals with daily.
Even a moment with Eugene two-year-old Bess Hubbard, and you're bound to smile. Her love of life is infectious, but it's not an easy life. Little Bess has Williams Syndrome. It's an extremely rare genetic condition that only affects about 30,000 people nationwide.
At first, you feel like when you got this diagnosis, you're like, why me, God? You know, how am I able to handle this? And now we're going, thank you, God, that you allowed us this precious honor of being a parent of a child who's going to change the world and change lives.
The Hubbards' lives changed on October 14th. Ashley's pregnancy was pretty textbook, but when her daughter came into this world, she was cord-wrapped. It was touch and go for a couple of hours.
It does.
Then, to pile on the worry, the couple got the news their little girl likely had Williams Syndrome.
Which is completely rare. Many of her doctors have never heard of it, never seen it.
Williams Syndrome can affect anyone and occurs at conception, and it's random. Those diagnosed share similar facial features, suffer from cardiovascular problems, and developmental delays.
Kids with Williams Syndrome will have a pixie nose. They will have a wider space on their nose right here. They'll be shorter in stature, usually tiny. And the key part of the Williams Syndrome diagnosis, unfortunately, is the cardiac issues.
I think she's a rare bird in the already rare syndrome.
And this little bird is no stranger to emergency rooms, doctor's visits, and physical therapy appointments.
Can you get that turtle?
Diane Rubeck is a physical therapist at the Child Development and Rehabilitation Center in Eugene.
Turtle!
So far, in her 22-year career, she's only treated two children and one adult in Oregon with Williams Syndrome.
She's doing phenomenally well. I'm very pleased to see her progress.
On this visit, Rubeck helped Bess navigate stairs.
Very good job.
Williams Syndrome kids struggle with spatial relations.
Early detection and early diagnosis at places like CDRC can be very helpful, because we can help families get hooked up to services.
One of Bess's doctors, Mario Peterson, a clinical professor with OHSU, says most Williams Syndrome children have life-threatening cardiovascular problems.
So you have a child that, if not diagnosed, can go with a heart condition that can really put them at risk if they need anesthesia. And there are cases of children that die during anesthesia because the diagnosis was not known.
All the way.
Thankfully, though, Bess hasn't needed open heart surgery, but will still need lifelong cardiac care. Dr. Peterson says it's important for parents to learn the laws, understand your community resources, and advocate for your child.
So other parents who have children with special needs can be what the best support. But sometimes better than immediate family.
Mom?
It took about 9 months for the Hubbards to share Bess's diagnosis.
And when we did, it was like a floodgate came open. I knew, and Bo knew, that now that we're sharing, we can't stop. Like, we have to share as much as we can.
She's now a part of a Facebook group, We Ones with Williams Syndrome. And she's connected with kids across the globe, meeting friends as far away as Ireland. Despite the setbacks, Williams Syndrome kids tend to be more social, friendly, and endearing. She immediately loved our news cameras. Who knows? Maybe a future reporter.
You know, through all the good times and the bad times, it's just we're blessed to be able to be her parents.
There's also the financial impact. Insurance covers some of the diagnosis, but like most special needs parents, there's more time needed off work.
Often we talk about it's not milestones, it's inchstones.
A special girl, encouraging us all to look for understanding in what we may not know and smile just a little more.
The family says another challenge is looking towards the future because Bess has a 50% chance of passing on the condition to her kids, though. Now, though, one day at a time for this family. And we, of course, will have a lot of the resources we talked about in this piece on our website, KZI.com. And if you notice, we are wearing...
So again, Senator Hayden, state representative from House District 7. In full disclosure, my daughter will be testifying, who is one of those 30,000 people. And so the intent of this bill is not for any funding. It's simply for awareness so that the associations that work with Williams Syndrome Awareness can have a day or a month that Oregon officially recognizes. Multiple states do recognize it. There is an effort to try and get all 50 states to recognize it, and we're working on that. Just this bill alone has brought many, many, I would say probably hundreds of inquiries to my personal Facebook website, and some of those requests have been the language that you all will be reviewing to see if they could do it in their state. So it's just a matter of if we can get the awareness out there on a rare condition that isn't really visible, but there's serious cardiac conditions associated with it. We also bring that awareness up to their physicians and their doctors. This little girl spent about 10 days in NICU when she was first born, and it took our physicians through many, many, and keep in mind I'm a special needs provider. It took a year to get that diagnosis, and there's some concerns with that. There's some dietary concerns with it. We don't have a solve for that. We can't cure the disease, but with early diagnosis and detection, we can adjust their diets, and we can adjust their exercise routines, and we can have their hearts considered for surgery or not. And I'd like to introduce our faith leader, Pastor McCoy, and how her involvement in that community and the importance of special needs people.
Okay. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Dave McCoy. And I'm Callie's pastor, and we were there in NICU when she was born, and so we've known the family and did the special anointing for her during that time. It was a really difficult time for the family. But I just want to share a story with you in terms of awareness. I don't know how we deal with disabilities at times, but sometimes we don't pay as much attention to children that may be having special needs. Maybe we're afraid of them. We don't know for sure how to react. And we kind of wonder if they're ever going to, you know, they may take up resources or however you view things. Sometimes we have a negative view of that. And I think the awareness is good to say that these people, these children, bring very positive parts to our lives. And I give you just a personal experience. I came to church with a bad attitude. As a pastor, I had a bad attitude day for church. I didn't want to be in church, just to be honest with you. And I was there, and I was, you know, I was doing my duty, you know, to be a pastor, and I was up front there, and we have a share time, and I was kind of mad at God and different people because I thought I could be at the beach or someplace else that day, and so we have a special share time, and everybody kind of done their sharing, and then Callie had decided she was going to share, and she said, "I love coming to church, and I love my pastor." I mean, that's what she said. And it was at that moment that I realized what it means to be a pastor. And that the least person that we would imagine who would share that love would be one who's had the most difficult time in her short life. And at that moment, my whole attitude changed because of my awareness of what somebody like Callie can actually bring to us and bring joy to our lives. And so I'm in favor of this bill because I think just the awareness itself helps us all kind of set back from our own ways in which we're looking at life and allow them to bring joy to our hearts as Callie's done for our church and for myself. And thank you for allowing me to come and to share with you today.
Thank you. She's working the panel. Too.
She is. Wherever she's at.
Does she want to talk now?
Would you like to say a few words?
Yes. Well, why did William Syndrome want a little girl?
Why did William Syndrome be a little girl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are a little girl with William Syndrome. So she's telling you that she has William Syndrome, and at a glance, you wouldn't notice that. And so that's the importance of the awareness that we can get out there and work with this community.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Callie.
Say thank you.
Thank you, and I like the way you have shirts.
She likes your shirts.
Well, Callie, you've got a million-dollar smile.
Yes, I do.
All right. Thank you very much. We have a group of people signed up, Julie Hayden, Wesson, and Kygan. But they want to pass. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 2591 and open a work session on House Bill 2591. Senator Perioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chairman, I move Senate Bill, where are we?
House Bill 2591.
The last one. Bottom of the page.
House Bill 2591 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Perioli has moved House Bill 2591 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
There's a couple of fanatical supporters who testified for the bill. So.
They can't. Carry
it. Oh, too bad. Why?
Because they're wrong. Members of the House of Representatives.
Well, I was thinking about, that's right, but I was thinking more about Senator Hansel, but this is for John Schiltz, right?
Right.
No, I'm sorry.
This is Williams Syndrome.
Williams Syndrome.
The perils of multitasking.
Well, yes.
Is there a particular senator who has been involved in this?
Anybody would be honored to carry.
Okay. We will ask Senator Gelser to carry this
thank
bill.
Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, and thank you for coming, Kaylee. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right. Senator? I don't have to. Close the work session. You don't have to do that. Senator Winters going to come? Okay, well, we'll take another one first. Why don't we just work these? I'm going to open a work session on SR2. Senator Perioli.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move SR2 to the floor with a the adopted recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved SR2 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Senator Hansel will carry that
one. That's the one I was thinking. Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you.
I think Gerard would rather.
29.
Now we will open a work session on SCR 29. Senator Farioli.
Yeah, Madam Chair. I move SCR 29 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved SCR 29 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. It's hard to pick a carrier. Should we choose Senator Przanski for this?
He or Manning, one or the other.
Yeah, well, I think we'll put down Senator Przanski and leave open the option for them to co-carry it. Okay.
Madam Chair, could we close the work session on Senate Resolution 2?
You know, I don't think when we do a work session, we actually have to close it.
Really?
I think once we make the recommendation, it's done. It's done for.
That's the only committee I've ever heard that.
Chair's rules.
And Madam Chair, when you adjourn for the day, you adjourned all the work sessions at once.
That's true. Okay.
If you don't think we have to, I'll start losing that.
We have on HCR 23. Can you have somebody call? Because she's going to be here on Vanport and Triple Mama. We're going to stand at ease for a second. Go. We will come back into order for the Senate Rules Committee, and I will open a public hearing on three bills to be efficient here, SCR 21, SCR 28, and SCR 30. Cherie.
Madam Chair and members, SCR 21 commemorates the 69th anniversary of the Vanport flood and remembers the survivors and those who lost their lives. SCR 28 recognizes and celebrates Harold White's contributions and achievements in public service. And SCR 30 honors members of the 555th Triple Nichols Parachute Infantry Battalion for their pioneering achievements and service to this country and state. There are no amendments being offered for any of these bills today, and fiscal and revenue statements for all of these bills indicate no impact.
Okay, welcome, Senator Winters. I have you down for three of these, and I wasn't aware you were here for the Harold White one, but you are here for that one as well?
I'm here for Harold White as well. I believe I'm co-sponsoring that with Representative Pat.
All right. Well, put your name on the record and get going.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. For the record, my name is Jackie Winters, State Senator for Senate District 10, which represents Almsville, Turner, Salem, Monmouth, and Independence. I'm going to speak to SCR 21, which is the memorializing for the Vanport flood, and I need to give you some little background on it. I lost my first bicycle almost 69 years ago. It was 69 years ago when the cold, muddy waters carried away my first ever bike, and I'd only had it for 5 months. Santa Claus brought it to me. My dad went to great lengths that Christmas to hide it at a friend's house. That bike, along with all household and personal belongings, were lost in this fast swirling waters. Life would not be the same. Oregon's second largest city was now underwater, and thousands of our families had to find shelter in nearby Portland or in Vancouver, Washington. No more roller skating through the ice and wash houses. We now sought refuge, a place to lay our heads. We made many moves following the flood, sleeping on cots, on mattresses, at Jefferson High School and Trinity Episcopal Church in Northwest Portland, living in barracks on Swan Island, and cramped into small trailers in Giles Lake. Siblings were often scattered throughout Portland public schools. Many were no longer attending the same school as other family members. We didn't have FEMA in those days, but we had each other, and we had the Red Cross, and that was, and churches, and that was everything to us. Our family was strong, as was our sense of community. To this day, I'm happy that the dike was not breached during the night, or I would not be here to tell my story. I wanted to actually remember the 69th anniversary of Vanport. There's been several documentaries done about Vanport. The latest one was OPB did one recently. Survivors have been invited to be with us on May 30th here at the Capitol. Those survivors who, like myself, went through one of the most devastating floods in the state of Oregon. And so I asked that you vote aye and send this to the Senate floor to remember those survivors and their families as they have gone and rebuilt their lives following 69 years of what was one of the most devastating events in our state.
Thank you.
And the next one is SCR 28 to memorialize for Harold White. Harold White, who was the mayor, and he retired recently from Almsville, and I've worked with him for a lot of years. He was born in Bozeman, Montana, and served in the U.S. Air Force. And earned an orientation and certification in systemic theology from Alaska Bible Institute. He moved to Almsville in 1978 and resumed a career of public service by becoming the interim police chief of Almsville. And he served as a member of the Almsville Parks and Recreation Commission for 2 years and as a member and chair of the Planning Commission of the City of Almsville for 2 years. He went on to be he was elected as mayor of the city of Almsville by the residents in the year 1986, and he just recently retired. And I need to tell you that Mayor White not only provided outstanding leadership, but he was one of those individuals who also nurtured and mentored others, and whether those others were actually those of us in the valley, or whether they were individuals over at the coast, or whether they were individuals that were part of his association over in Central Oregon. He was one of these rare individuals that we will miss, because he came to visit a lot here at the Capitol to make certain that those things that supported his community that I was aware of and others were aware of, whether it was street lighting, whether it was issues that had to do with rail and transportation, he was here. And I, along with Representative Hack, would like to, and his community, want to honor him through our resolution. And I urge your eye vote.
Thank you. Now, triple nickel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Triple nickel came to me just recently, and I, like probably others, was not aware that there was a group of parachuters that were an all African American group that came to Oregon during the war. And who actually spent their time here, and I think the good Senator Bocas probably knows this better than I, but who were there were bombs that had been placed here by Japanese when we were during the war, and their job was actually to locate and to what's the word for them, Senator Bocas?
Deactivate
them. And this was during a time in our history where during the military, the African-American units were not actually fully integrated into our other parts of the service. I also learned from this part of history, there will be a marker that will be placed. In fact, I understand there will be two markers now. When I first started, it was just the marker Cave Junction, but now there were Pendleton, which is where this the Triple Nickel was based, have through the assistance of Senator Hansel, who will help to organize their community to have a marker placed there as well. So it is the plan to have one of the individuals who actually brought this to us, who was Eddie Washington, who, by the way, is also a Vanport survivor, who is on the historical committee that nominated the Triple Nickel, and he will be here on the day of their meeting, which I believe it's June 1st. And so we would love to hear this on the Senate chamber floor on that date, and I urge your eye vote on this.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee on any of these bills? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will close the public hearings on SCR 21, SCR 28, and SCR 30, and open a work session on SCR 21. Senator Farrelly.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 21 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farrelly has moved SCR 21 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Winters will carry that. Senator, now we'll open a work session on SCR 28. Senator Farrelly.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 28 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farrelly has moved SCR 28 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Senator Winters will carry SCR 28. Now we'll open a work session on SCR 30. Senator Farrelly.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 30 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farrelly has moved SCR 30 to the Senate floor with the be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Objection? So ordered. Senator Winters will carry. And we will bypass the last item on our agenda, and that completes our work for the day. So we are adjourned. The day, so we are adjourned. Completes our work.